I'm here with Alexander Mercurs, editor-in-chief of The Deran. Alexander, let's look at the NATO summit. It is all wrapped up. No press conference. Trump has bolted. He wants nothing to do with these guys, and we'll get into why. I remember in the video we did with Macron and Erdogan when they were having their war of words before the summit, which is being hosted by Boris Johnson in the UK, in Watford, UK. I remember you said towards the end of the video when we said Boris Johnson is hosting, you said, and what could possibly go wrong? Alexander, do you want me to play the video now or after? Do you want to say some words now or you want me to play the short video of the three globalist gossip girls sitting there and bad-mouthing President Trump? Or do you want to say some few words now? Should I play it later?
I'll make just a few observations. They're very, very quick. Firstly, let's remember that this is supposed to be a summit of celebration. This is the 70th anniversary of NATO, its great birthday party. Supposedly, they were all going to come together and to celebrate NATO. And what do we see? As you said, the three gossip girls bad-mouthing the chief, who is, of course, Donald Trump, because we all know that the United States is the chief of NATO. That's the first thing. So it's not actually such a very happy birthday or anniversary for NATO when things like this happen. And, of course, the other thing is to take note of who the three gossip girls are. We've often talked on various videos about how Macron and Trudeau are basically two of a piece. They are their ideas and their philosophies and their personalities are incredibly similar. I mean, they are absolutely part of the sort of woke, neo-globalist, neoliberal, world that we have become so accustomed to. And in fact, they've taken it, both of them, to an even further level than we've ever seen before. And it was Boris Johnson, who is the supposed host. Well, he doesn't quite fit into that, but like Macron and like Trudeau, he is essentially a child of privilege, because all these three people are, to be very clear, very privileged individuals. Trudeau is the son of a former Canadian prime minister. Macron is a person who floated upwards through the French ENARC systems, these extraordinary schools that exist in France, and was helped up all the way. I mean, he was assisted all the way up. And it was Boris is a central figure in the English establishment. He went to Eton, our most prestigious private school. He went to Oxford. He was a member of all sorts of dining clubs there and drinking clubs there. And of course, he was also immediately became a journalist on The Spectator and other such newspapers, and effortlessly floated up to become prime minister. So these are three highly privileged, highly globalist, highly elitist people, jeering at the leader of the free world, as it was once called, on NATO's 70th birthday. Let's hear the video.
All right. Before I play the video, Alexander, actually, I have a small correction. Three gossip girls and one Dutch Prime Minister, Mark Rutte, who's kind of floating, outside of the circle there.
He certainly is. I forgot all about Mark Rutte, because actually the Netherlands is an important country. But having said that, he is also very much a member of this club. I mean, if you followed Mark Rutte's career, he has always consistently been on the side of the Merkels, the Macrons, the Trudeaus. He is essentially a Dutch version of what Macron and Trudeau are. He's the only difference is he's been there around a little longer. So they're all there. Anyway, let's hear the video.
All right. Let's roll it, Alexander. Let me pull it up.
Just watched his teeth.
So there you have it, Alexander. Let me read you a real quick excerpt from Zero Hedge as they describe this this hot mic moment real quickly. Put some good context to it. All right. From Zero Hedge, the world leaders were joined by Princess Anne, the Queen's daughter, who naturally was invited to the Buckingham Palace reception where the footage was taken. Dutch Prime Minister Mark Rutte also appears to be in the scrum. At one point, Rutte can be heard laughing while saying, quote, fake news media. Though Trump's name isn't heard spoken, the subject of their gossipy little powwow is pretty clear. At one point, Trudeau can be heard telling his pals about how a certain leader's team member's jaws dropped when he launched into a rambling tangent during a press conference. A loosened up Canadian PM, Justin Trudeau, seen sipping from a glass of beer, could barely contain himself, gesturing wildly and shouting, quote, you just watch his team's jaws drop to the floor. It's likely that Trudeau is referring to his joint press conference with President Trump, where the president veered wildly off topic and answered questions about the burgeoning impeachment inquiry while lashing out at his Democratic rivals. That would be Adam Schiff, the questions he was taking at that press conference. I saw that press conference. Nothing out of the ordinary for Trump. The questions were expected, I believe, you know, given what's happening with this, with the Ukraine impeachment hoax. Alexander, my quick take on all of this. I like Trump even more now.
Well, I'm sure lots of people will. Absolutely. I mean, when they see who is laughing at him, I mean, let's think of the kind of
this is going to help him.
It's going to help him. Of course it is. Let's think of the sort of people who vote for Donald Trump or who have voted for Donald Trump. What do they see? As I say, they will see the three privileged members of the neo-globalist order laughing at the American president, at Donald Trump, and they will their sympathies and their support will be wholly with Donald Trump. And the fact, by the way, that there was a member of the British royal family there, Princess Anne, who, by the way, is the only member of this group whom I have actually met and spoken to on occasions, but that's another story. That will only further confirm for them what a very privileged and remote group this is, how completely disconnected they are from their lives, and it will make them sympathize and identify with Donald Trump even more. Now, can I just say something about these press conferences? I mean, they go on about how rambling these press conferences are, and the fact that, you know, all these officials' their jaws drop when they hear them. What I will say is, first of all, I didn't actually hear anything pretty remarkable or extraordinary or unusual or disturbing at any of Donald Trump's press conferences. I mean, all the themes that you hear at these press conferences are the ones you always get from Donald Trump. He's a person who talks what is in his mind. It is one of the things his base likes about him. They like the fact that he says what he is thinking at the particular moment that he says it. That is a major quality that makes him look authentic in their eyes. That's the first thing to say. Authentic, by the way, is not the same as always consistent and always truthful. That's a different thing. It's authenticity people see in Donald Trump. It's not consistency. And that's a major misunderstanding that many people have. That's the first thing to say about this. The second is that it's absolutely normal for Donald Trump to answer questions about things like the impeachment proceedings. I mean, it would be bizarre if the subject did not come up in press conferences. And it's better that Donald Trump answers those questions, in my opinion, rather than evades doing so. And the third thing is that Donald Trump's style has always this, I would call it, stream of consciousness quality. He's not one of these people who's a very organized, structured speaker. I mean, if you compare him with Vladimir Putin, Vladimir Putin is very structured when he speaks. He goes through topic after topic. You can almost see him ticking them off one after the other. That's not Donald Trump's style. And his base don't care. They don't mind that. The real difference, the real point is that people like Trudeau and Macron and Rutte, and to a great extent, Boris Johnson also, what they really find discomforting about Donald Trump is not that he talks in a stream of consciousness way, it's that he doesn't talk in cliches. They talk in cliches. That's what they always do. Very occasionally, as Macron has recently done in talking about Russia, Macron has gone a bit off-piste there. But generally and overall, they retreat into cliches. And they were at a summit which is supposed to be a celebration of NATO's 70th birthday. That is what they were looking, would have expected the leader of the United States to do. Donald Trump isn't about that. That's not what he does. It's not a reason to laugh at him. It's not a reason to huddle around and all have jokes at his expense whilst, you know, quaffing, well, beer we're told, but maybe it was something, maybe it was champagne, I don't know. Beer. It's not a good or clever thing to do. And of course, it's been recorded. I suspect it was recorded by somebody who thought that by releasing this video, it would do Donald Trump harm. In reality, it's going to help him, just as you said.
Absolutely. It's going to help him, Alexander. It looks so bad on so many levels. Boris Johnson, the host, the UK, the host. Supposedly, Boris Johnson has very good relationship with Trump. The host, he won't now. The host making fun of the United States. These countries making fun of the United States president after they have been feeding off of the U.S. defense budget for 70 years, and they're making fun of him. The U.S. flips the NATO's bill. 70% of NATO's bill is paid by the United States, and all these guys have benefited from it. I'm sure they've benefited in their pocket from it.
Well,
and they're making fun of him. Talk about biting the hand that feeds. And Alexander, right before you get to your comments, two more comments I have to make. Number one is this reminds me very much of what they did to Putin at the G20, was it?
Yeah.
Where they kind of put him at his own table and isolated him.
Well,
Putin came back. He's stronger than ever now, number one. And number two, Trump has addressed Trudeau at least, and he said, quote, "He's two-faced." This is what Trump told reporters. "He's two-faced. I find him to be a very nice guy, but the truth is I called him out on the fact that he's not paying 2%, and I guess he's not happy about it." Well, so that was Trump's first statement about what went down with the hot mic. Alexander, close out the video. All your thoughts on what I've just said and more.
Indeed, the G20 summit that you're referring to happened in, I think it was 2014, and I can remember Tony Abbott, who was the Australian Prime Minister, saying that he would, I think, shirt front or some bizarre expression, Putin at that. And there was, as you correctly said, an attempt to isolate Putin at that summit. And the result is that all the leaders who tried to do that are all gone, save for Angela Merkel, who's clinging on by her fingertips and probably won't be there for much longer. So it doesn't really pay to do these things. As the old saying goes, he who laughs last, laughs longest. And that was certainly true with the G20 summit that you're referring to. And it might even be true, it might also be true here. Now, coming back to this, I mean, I think actually the person who has the most cause for concern amongst this group is Boris Johnson. Boris Johnson was supposed to be hosting this event. He's trying to position Britain as being very close to the United States. He wants to negotiate a deal with Trump, a big trade deal after Brexit. He's going to find that more difficult now because, of course, he's now shown to Trump that behind Trump's back, he's prepared to laugh at Trump with foreign leaders that Trump is known to despise. And bear something in mind, Boris Johnson has been trying to control Trump during this summit. He's been trying to limit Trump's comments and prevent Trump from intervening in the British election. And Trump has gone along with that. So Trump will feel, well, frankly, he's been rewarded or treated very badly by Boris Johnson at this summit, who went along with all these jokes about Donald Trump behind his back. And Donald Trump is not a person who takes this kind of thing at all well. But ultimately, I mean, your point about the 2% target, the fact that the United States has this vast defense budget, that all the European countries are hiding behind it, they're hiding behind the US umbrella, that they deliberately because many of them, I mean, they could certainly afford to spend more on defense, but they choose not to do so. And there's a reason for that, by the way. There is an important reason for that. That is now becoming a major political issue in the United States and with Donald Trump. I mean, it plays terribly badly with Donald Trump's electoral base, and it shows an incredible insensitivity to the concerns both Donald Trump as president of the United States and his electoral base, the concerns that they have. Now, why do so many European nations not pay enough, as much as they could for their own defense? Why do they keep defense spending below the 2% target, which I have been hearing about, by the way, for almost as long as I can remember? It's been explained to me actually more than once by people who are in the know, and that is they don't want to spend that amount of money, because if they do, they are afraid that the US will say, well, look, you're spending far more money than Russia is. The only conceivable adversary that you have, so you don't need us any longer, and we can therefore go away and concentrate on sorting out our own affairs and focusing on the Pacific and the Asia Pacific, where we're now facing this challenge from China. Many European countries quite consciously choose to spend as little as they can so that they can come crawling back to the US and say, we need you, because we are not strong enough by ourselves to take on the Russian bear. This has been going on, by the way, for decades. It was even true during the Cold War. Donald Trump will have none of it. He's not prepared to go along with it. He's told them this absolutely clearly. And what is their response? They laugh at him. As I said, not wise, not clever, not clever on the part of whoever released this film, who, as I said, was intending, I am sure, to do Donald Trump harm. The net result of all of this is that NATO, on its 70th birthday, looks even weaker than it did before that birthday took place.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what a racket. Yeah. NATO has become for all these guys. It's just a racket. I mean, you know, everyone talks about all these European countries, they have this great healthcare system, and they spend so much money on their healthcare systems and these social security nets and all these things. And I always tell them, yeah, of course, because they don't have a defense budget.
No, they don't. No.
That's why if you were to tack on 2% of their budget and move it from all the other stuff that they spend it on and put it on to defense.
Yeah.
Goodbye, social safety net. Goodbye, healthcare system. Goodbye to all of that stuff.
Well, indeed.
US is propping up every single one of these NATO countries, every single one.
Yeah. I mean, if they don't want the US to defend them, if they want not to spend lots of amount in defense, well, they can have good relations with Russia and have an end to it all. And then they don't need to come crawling to the Americans for help all the time. They want to have it both ways. But as I said, I think, and I don't think this is just Donald Trump, by the way, I think that American patience with this is running out. I mean, there have been previous periods in NATO's history when there have been senior American officials who've spoken out against this. I can remember Mike Mansfield, Senator Mike Mansfield, once talking in this way back in the 70s. But, I mean, Donald Trump is the president of the United States. He's in a much stronger position to do it, and he's articulating a view that I think many, many people in the United States hold, not just Republicans, not just Trump supporters, but I suspect many people who normally vote Democrat also.
What could possibly go wrong? Famous last words from Alexander McCurry.
Well, there you go. Well, I mean, that's actually a good point because, I mean, Boris Johnson, as the host, should never have allowed this conversation to happen. He should have said, you know, he should have immediately changed the subject, got on to other things, even taken Trudeau aside and said, you know, Justin, I don't think this is really appropriate. I mean, we're talking about the president of the United States here. I mean, that's what Boris Johnson should have done if he was running this thing properly. But, you know, Boris Johnson is not that kind of a person. I mean, as I often say, he's played the clown too long. And he often slips into it now, almost by reflex. And well,
like gossipy little children is what they look like.
Like gossipy little children.
These are leaders of countries, and they look gossipy little children.
Well, I mean, I think they're leaders of countries in any meaningful sense. By the way, I mean, I'm hearing that things in France are going to be very bad. And there's a general strike brewing there. So
we're due for another video on
Well, indeed. But I mean, you know, Macron may be trying to play Napoleon on the world stage, but in France, he's not perceived in those terms at all.
All right. Alexander McCurse, Editor-in-Chief of The Durant. Thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click on the subscribe button down below. Click on that notifications bell to make sure you get notifications every time we push out a new video. Check us out on iTunes and on SoundCloud to get an audio copy of this video. And please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. Your donation helps keep this channel up and running. And also check us out on Telegram, where we post everything that goes on with The Duran, including when we post videos on BitChute and videos on Duran Video, which is our own private platform in beta mode. And of course, we also post discounts on our Telegram channel. So subscribe to us there. And we have a discount right now, 20% off all merchandise. Just put DRN20 in the checkout, in the coupon box when you are in the checkout page. You'll find details for that coupon code in the description box down below. Alexander, some final thoughts.
Well, some final thoughts again. I mean, if you want to understand, if you want to go to somebody who knows how diplomacy is done, you go to this man. He is the uninvited guest at these summits, but he's the real deal. He knows about diplomacy. He knows how to talk properly. You never hear of any incident in which Sergei Lavrov, the man on this mug, actually blurts out comments like that. He has never been caught on mic talking and saying improper things about the president of the United States. It just doesn't happen. It wouldn't ever occur to him. Apparently, he does use strong language. He has been known on occasion to use four-letter words, apparently, in order to emphasize a point. If he does so, he does so with great calculation in order to get his point across strongly and effectively. So this is the grown up who unfortunately was not in that room. And I'm sure that when he drinks tea, apparently he's almost as compulsive a tea drinker as I am. I'm sure he drinks it from a fantastic mug like this, though I also suspect that he probably doesn't have his own picture on it, but there we go. So I'm sure, though, that the mug that he has is not as good as this mug, which is one of our great Duran mugs, 15 ounces, beautifully made, wonderful porcelain body. It's about, it's about a fifth full, but you can see how easily I can balance it and it doesn't slosh around or spill or do anything like that because it's easy to balance. It's got this beautiful handle. It's incredibly strong. Alex is showing you the mug, which I'm sure has the crest, the emblem of the Russian Federation, which is probably the one that Lavrov actually drinks from. Certainly, it's the one that Putin drinks from. But as a beautiful mug for all kinds of drinks and for all seasons, for tea, for coffee, for hot chocolate, for beer. Somebody even suggested to me, by the way, about champagne. And, you know, there's something to be said for that. English aristocrats drink champagne out of silver goblets. Well, this isn't a silver goblet, but I suspect it would keep it cool also. Anyway, I might try it one day. So there you go. So these are our amazing Durand mugs. They're complemented by these fantastic Durand shirts. You can see that I'm wearing this amazing, wonderful, incredibly comfortable, 100% cotton, exceptionally smart and elegant Durand polo shirt. It's got the double-headed eagle there of the Durand, which is different from the one of the Russian Federation. But you can also find other polo shirts in different colors. You can find long-sleeved t-shirts, short-sleeved t-shirts. You can find V-neck shirts. You can find hoodies. You can find stickers. You can find hats. You can find amazing things in our shop. Alex has told you about the discounts you can get. You can find our shop and all its products. You can go to Telegram and you can find it through there. You can find it in all, you can also, by the way, find us on these new great platforms that you are creating. If you want to support the Durand, you can buy things from our shop. And of course, by doing that, you'll be helping yourself. You'll be owning all these wonderful things. And you can also stock up for great presents for Christmas, for your friends and for your family. So don't hold back. Come to our shop. Get your discounts. Alex will tell you how.
Just go to thedurandshop.com. You'll find the link in the description box down below. Alexander Mercurius, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.